Welcome to a brand new series, What Time Is It? And I believe this is going to be great, y'all. It's going to be a great three-part series. We're going to have a lot of fun. I just hope that you really engage in this one. I want to pause right here and welcome those who are with us for our Sunday morning experience who come by way of online. We're so glad to have our online campus with us. Can we welcome those that are here online? So glad to see you today. A lot of things you're hearing about that's happening here at Cross Point. One of the big ones that's happening right now is our launch of small groups. It began this week. And how many are enjoying small groups? Isn't that awesome? I was checking out some pictures yesterday of the couch to 5K. Is that what we call that one? And I was just like, man, awesome, good job. Just so good to see all the different groups that are happening and hearing good reports back from those. And I just want to just give a shout out to all the small group leaders and especially our small groups pastor, Pastor Steve, just doing a phenomenal job as always. I hope that you'll really engage in this. One thing I like to repeat around here a lot, and we repeat a lot of things around here, and we do it intentionally because we want you to get it. There's a DNA that we want you to get, a culture that we want you to get a hold of. We're not just a church with small groups, we're a church of small groups, and because we believe it's that important to get in relationship, and so I encourage you to be a part of our small groups. Real excited about this series, and by the way, there are message notes in your worship guide that you can follow along with. There's some hole punch you'll notice, and that's because we have binders in the lobby that you can use, and you can take those, and you can collect message series as you go, and different notes, and so you can look back and reflect on things that we've studied and looked at together. So I encourage you with that. And if you're watching online, you can download those notes. They're already available to you online. Just go to crosspointworshipcenter.com. You can download those. So really excited about this. Before we get into this, though, I just have to say one more thing. I was up here speaking a moment ago. I'm thinking, I'm a little bit hoarse. I was working yesterday. Had a ball game ahead to attend. Come on, 49ers. Hey, we 49ers in the house. Yeah. And we worked hard. It was tough, but ASU took care of business. But we broke a record in attendance at the stadium yesterday at UNC Charlotte. It was a great time. My Noles, we won. Thank you. We won. My Florida State Seminoles won their first game last night. So we were just really excited about that. So, we focus on those things, and those things are a lot of fun, and there's certain things in our life that we give attention to, but there's nothing more important than this topic that we're going to be talking about for the next 3 weeks, and that's the topic of eternity, and really what time is it? And a lot of people are asking that question, you know, are we living in the last days? Is this the end times? And I want to help us answer that question, but I do want to be clear up front. And again, your message notes are there, but I'm going to give you a verse that's not there in your message notes right up front that's found in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 36. Jesus said, but about that day or hour, no one knows. No one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. And so we got to be clear about that. If someone comes up and says, I'm going to tell you the day that he's going to return, and I got this all figured out, and they're going to sell you a book on it. Listen, even Jesus said he doesn't even know, and the angels don't know. Only the Father knows. So you can picture this. Jesus is at the right hand of his Father. And, you know, he's right there. He's ready on that white horse to come and get his kids. And he's saying, Dad, is it time? And he's waiting on his Father to give him the signal of the day when that's going to happen. Now, we do know that we can know the times and the seasons. We're going to talk about that. I believe this is going to be a very healthy study as we look at this. Sometimes it's a very scary topic, but I don't believe it has to be. I believe it's a very exciting topic. We're going to find out about that. I want to bring our attention to a verse found in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 32, where it speaks to the men of Issachar, and it says that the men of Issachar, they understood the times and knew what Israel should do. I think that's very interesting. Gave a kind of a shout out to them that they knew the times and that they knew what Israel should do, and that's the goal of this series is that we need to understand the times that we're living in, and we need to know what we are to do about that. I don't believe it's a time for us to be confused. I don't believe it's a time for us to be idle. I believe there's some things that we need to be doing. There's some opportunities that we have today that we need to be taking advantage of. But I want to set up one thing very clear right at the front, and that is that there's a pillar of doctrine regarding this topic about the return of Christ. And as a lot of churches will have doctrines in place of, that we build our church on, and those are actually found online. You can go online to crosspointworshipcenter.com, and you can see some of our doctrine there. But I want to sort of just make sure everyone understands that this very clear, and this is one of our doctrines of a church, and that is that we believe that Jesus is coming again. Come on. We believe that Jesus is coming again. And we know that there is going to be a generation. There's going to be a generation to see Christ return. There's going to be people alive when Christ returns. And the question then is, are we that generation? And so I want to take you to a scripture that's found in Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, Jesus is speaking, and it says, and he said, after he said this, now this is referring to, we got to understand that Jesus, he came to this earth, he was born of the Virgin Mary, conceived of the Holy Spirit, he lived a sinless life, he went to the cross, he died, paid for our sins, and then he rose from the dead, and he then spent the next 40 days giving some final instructions and doing some miracles and some things while he was here on this earth, and then he was then ascended to his Father. He was received up into heaven. And so as he was about to ascend to heaven, he gave some last instructions. Now, we affectionately call that our commission. We call it the Great Commission. It was the last words, his final instructions to us that we were to do. And so he's saying after he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. So you got to picture this. Here he is ascending. It says they were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood by them. So these two angels appeared before them. Verse 11, it says, "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky?" Well, it's obvious, because Jesus was floating up into the sky, right? I'm just kind of pointing out the obvious, right? And they said, "This same Jesus who has been taken up from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven." So he is coming back. Again, we can't know the day or the hour, but we can know the season, and we can recognize the signs. In Luke chapter 21, verse 25, it says this, that there will be signs. Jesus is speaking here. He says there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. So there are going to be some things that are going to point to his coming. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. And then it goes on to say people will faint from terror. Some of these things we're seeing in our day already. Apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken. And then it says, and at that time they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Verse 28, when these things begin to take place, stand up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Your redemption is drawing near. And so he's saying that there's going to be some things that are going to point to his coming. And for some people, this is kind of a tense topic. It kind of gets, you know, sometimes we've kind of presented this with some fear factor going on and trying to scare people into heaven. But I just want to kind of help you understand that that's not got the goal of this message. And I believe that this is actually going to bring a lot of comfort to you. I want to give you a little bit of humor in the midst of this, because there's not a lot of humor in this, but I'll just use this one, a little bit of humor sprinkled in here help you along here. There was two guys, and some of you heard this, but it's two guys that had these churches. It was a Baptist church and Methodist church across from each other, and they were putting up signs in the yard out in front of their church. And one of them said the end is near. Turn around before it's too late. One said, turn now before it's too late. And so anyway, some guy comes riding in a car by, and he looks at the preachers with these, kind of, they thinking it's a turn or burn kind of sign, and they're saying, you bunch of freaks, crazy, fanatic Christians. And they go on around the corner, and you hear the screech of brakes, and you hear a splash. And one preacher looks at the other preacher and says, don't you think maybe we should have just put up a sign that said bridge is out? But anyway, there you go. Some people would ask the question, though, is this the generation to see Christ return? And honestly, I believe a lot of generations have felt this is the generation to see Christ return. Honestly, I think that's a very healthy question to ask. And I believe it's a very healthy way to live in the anticipation that Christ could come back in our time. I believe that we should plan as if Christ is going to return in 1,000 years, but we should live like he's going to return today. And the fact of the matter is, it doesn't matter whether it's 1,000 years or tomorrow. It could be for you today. You know what I'm saying? Because we aren't going to live for 1,000 years anyway on this earth in this body. So when you think about it, the end is near. No matter, we were actually talking about it in the Dream Team huddle this morning. Somebody was talking about the fact of how short life is. Talking about this topic of eternity. And even when we live 70 or 80 years, guess what? In relationship to eternity, that's a short amount of time. And so we never know when he comes. We used to say he comes or calls, right? And so I think it's a healthy way to live. But here's the thing about understanding what time it is as it relates to, is this the generation to see Christ return? And the truth is, again, we don't fully know. Only God knows. But he did say we could know the times. So what we do know is that our generation is very unique in that the prophecies that are pointing to Jesus' return, in the past we've seen these prophecies be fulfilled, one prophecy to this generation, another prophecy to this generation. But in our generation, all the prophecies are being fulfilled in our generation, unlike no other generation. Let me give you some examples. First of all, worldwide satellite technology has developed in our generation like no other generation. We have a very unique generation, and that's important in regard to the end time narrative. If you're a note taker, write this down. It's in look at Revelation chapter 11, and it talks about at the end times that there's going to be some witnesses that are going to come back during the tribulation period, and they're going to die and be slain in the street. Many believe that it is Moses and Elijah. And it said that the whole world would see them. Well, years ago, we could say, well, how could the whole world see them? But now, because of satellite and because of technology, we now see how that can be true. In fact, now we just all we need is a phone, right? And we could see what's happening. So we see that the satellite technology has developed. We also see worldwide financial technology. And write this one down, Revelation chapter 13. Because in Revelation chapter 13, it talks about there's going to be a world peace. There's going to be an Antichrist come. And the way he's going to try to establish this false peace is he's going to set up the world in a one world currency, a financial currency. And we know that the mark of the beast will be, we've heard many times about the mark of the beast that'll be issued out. And there'll be a mark on your hand or on your forehead. You go through a Walmart, beep, it's kind of interesting. I was out eating last week with Dwayne and Karen, and was it Dwayne? Were you showing me your? Yeah, Dwayne was showing me his phone. His watch. Same thing. Anyway, so it was more advanced than Dick Tracy. Anybody know who Dick Tracy is? Okay, a few. Okay, I just want to connect here. I'm old, but anyway, a little cartoon character, and he was always talking on his wristwatch, and that was like, man, that's cool. Well, now, he was showing me all what that does. I mean, he could just buy things with his watch. I said, Dwayne, you're getting awful close there, buddy. You better be careful. I'm just saying. I mean, the technology is there. July of 2017, New York Times had an article about a microchip implant being issued to employees of a Wisconsin company. I mean, who knew that it was going to happen this fast? It's already upon us. The technology is there. Another thing is unique about our generation is the worldwide evangelism, okay? Matthew 24 and 14, Jesus said that this gospel will be preached in all nations. And after it's been preached in all nations, then the end will come. Now, when he talked about all nations, really his word there that he used was ethnos, which is not just talking about the 193 countries with boundaries that we have, but actually he's talking about people groups. And there's 17,000 people groups. And of those 17,000 people groups, 10,000 of those people groups have a Bible, have a church, have a missionary or some representative for them to be able to explain the gospel to them. Interestingly, many times, as we as Americans send out missionaries to these unreached groups, I've heard that it's only 4% of missionary dollars go to the unreached groups. So it's very important that we be strategic and we make sure our finances go to the unreached groups. And some of that is now beginning to take place where we're ministering to people in unreached groups. Now, the of those that are being reached, in the top 10 that are being reached, by the way, Iran is one of the top 10. Don't forget what you hear on the news. They're being reached. They're coming to Jesus. I'm telling you, great things are happening. Let me also give you this fact. In 1970, there was 1.2 billion Christians. And that's from the very beginning up until 1970. There was 1.2 billion Christians that had ever lived. And then since then, from 2000 and 2017, we now have 2.6 billion Christians. So we have more than doubled within a span of, 40 years, right? So think about that. More people are being reached today. Of the 193 nations, all of them are growing and coming to Christ, growing in that in that statistic of Christians growing in Christianity, all but 20. And by the way, America is on the list of the 20 not growing. So that's why what we're doing is important. Planting churches is important. Reaching people is important because of what we see happening. So I'm saying giving this information again, and we're talking about this topic not to scare you, but actually to excite you. The return of Christ should have us doing three things. It should cause us to do three things. Write this down. Number one, Jesus' return comforts us. Comforts us. Because there are times in life, let's face it, when life is rough. And sometimes, let's just put it plain, sometimes life stinks, doesn't it? We have all kind of issues and problems. I was talking to someone yesterday who had lost someone in their family, and then their mother is not doing well, and they're talking to me all about. And he said it's just life, you know, and it's just rough. But what kind of hope do we give people? Let me tell you something. Eternity gives people hope because this is not all there is to this life. And we need to remember that. And I think when we put all of our stocks and all of our interest and all of our attention and all of our time thinking it's got to happen in this life or it's over, no, actually, this is just temporary. What really matters is what is eternal. And when we think about Jesus coming and his return, it gives us hope beyond this life. It's said in Scripture that if in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable because this isn't all there is. But there is something more to come. There's an eternity. There's forever. As a kid, I used to sit around and kind of think, eternity, eternity. How long is eternity? Never an end, never an end, never an end. Boy, that'll blow your mind, you know. I kind of do those things. I'd go up on the carport of my house where we used to live. And, you know, I climb on the carport, get up above everything and look at the clouds and think about eternity, man. And then I think about there's no beginning to God and no end to God. That'll blow your mind. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying all that to say that eternity, though, is a long time. How long is eternity? We don't know. It's a long time. Never ends. And that's why, listen, what we're doing is so vitally important. What we're doing on Sunday morning matters because eternity is forever. And yet sometimes we get so hung up on the temporary and the things that really do not matter. I went to Florida State in Tallahassee, and I don't mean to demean Tallahassee, but my dad used to say about stuff that I would worry about, he said, you can't tell it by a Tallahassee bridge. I don't know what that means, but I do know that we put a lot of attention on things and get worked up on things that really don't matter. Can I just be honest with you? I was, we've been in, and this is online, and who knows who's hearing this, so I'm going to be careful with my words, but I've been in a little bit of a battle for the church. Y'all may not think it's important, but I thought it was pretty huge for me. It was kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back, or we could call it the cell phone tower that broke the camel's back. Okay, we got a cell phone tower out here that I've been battling. And I've been like, y'all don't know it. Some of y'all haven't seen this side of me. I've been like one of these dogs that grabs hold of a toy and won't let go. You know what I'm saying? A little tenacity going on. I've been, and my wife saw me at the onset of that battle. And man, I was on the phone. I mean, I was rattling cages and shaking some trees. You know, because I was upset by it. But as we were going through this process, her and I both were saying, if we're that intense on something that we feel like should have been changed, and it is going to be changed. Thank you, Mobility, and thank you. NCDOT. We had a wonderful meeting this week, and everybody was willing and gracious, and so that is going to be relocated on another site down towards our new building. Very thankful for that. But in that process, we were saying, if we can be that intense about that, and that's temporary, y'all, we need to be intense, and we need to be, we need to put all of our energy in to what matters. Eternity matters, the eternal things. It matters. Let me give you this scripture that's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15 through 18. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are alive and who are left until the coming of the Lord, he's coming, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. Bible doesn't even call them dead, just they're falling asleep. They're going to meet with the Lord later. So, for the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So will we be with the Lord forever. Let me just pause, go back to that 17th verse. Let me just kind of emphasize that word, caught up. That word, caught up. It means to be snatched up. If you look at the original text of that, it's really one word. We took two words to explain it, but it really means to be snatched up or snatched away. Is where also a word is derived from rapture. You hear about the rapture. The word rapture is not in the church, but it's derived from that, which means there's going to be a sudden catching away. And then it goes on in verse 18 to say, therefore encourage one another with these words. So it's not to discourage you, it's not to scare you, but it is actually to encourage you. Jesus' return comforts us. When the temporary things of this life that we're dealt with don't treat us right, and when things don't go our way, and when there's sickness and there's things that we deal with in our life, and all these things that happen, there is comfort in knowing that there is an eternity awaiting for us. God has something better planned for us. Secondly, Jesus' return prepares us. Jesus has returned. You say, well, you know, is this that important of a topic? Well, there's over 300 references in the New Testament to this topic of end times or the return of Christ. Out of 260 chapters in the New Testament deals with this topic. And 23 of the 27 New Testament books gives attention to this topic of the end times, of the return of Christ. Because it's important. Because if Jesus is coming, we need to prepare ourselves. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says this, "Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you." In other words, we don't know the time or the day, right? So we don't need to worry about that. "For you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. While there will be many that will be shocked, we should not be shocked. We should not be surprised, because we know he's coming, and the Scripture is telling us he's coming, therefore, we can be prepared." And if he's coming, that means how we live matters. How we live matters. You know, you think about a man and a woman that's going to be married, and there's a lot of preparation that happens before the wedding. There are invitations to send out. There's flowers to order. There's reservations to be made. There's all kind of things that go into play getting ready for that big day. I mean, you spend months, and some of you probably spend a year or more planning a big wedding. Lasts about 15, 20 minutes, but yeah, you know what I'm saying? But yet you're going to, but it's so important. You're going to prepare yourself, and the bride's going to get her dress and going to make sure her hair is fixed and going to make sure she's ready for the groom. Well, the Bible tells us that the church is as the bride of Christ, and Christ is the groom. And so if we are preparing for our wedding day, for his return, think about it, folks. How we live our lives matter, right? It's probably not a good time for the bride to be going out dating other guys, right? Groom probably not going to like that. It's very important how we live our lives. It's how we dress as a bride matters. And I'm talking about spiritually on the inside, how we dress ourselves. But it's also, guess what? It's going to reflect on the outside. We used to sing a song, "Is Jesus on the inside, working on the outside? Oh, what a change in my life." Right? It just shows up, right? But it all matters. So with that being said, we are preparing ourselves. Jesus' return prepares us. Third, write this down. Jesus, the return of Jesus focuses us. Jesus' return focuses us. 1 Thessalonians 5, again, says, "You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like everybody else. Don't know what time it is and what's going on, living any old way, who are asleep, but let us be awake and sober. Let us realize what time it is." It focuses us on what matters. So what should I do then? Let me read you this scripture that's found in Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 37. "When the Son of Man returns, it will be like it was in Noah's day. In those days before the flood, the people were enjoying banquets and parties and weddings right up to the time Noah entered his boat. People didn't realize what was going to happen until the flood came and swept them all away. That is the way it will be when the Son of Man comes. Two men will be working together in the field. One will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding flour at the mill. One will be taken, the other left. So you too must," look at this, "keep watch. For you do not know what day your Lord is coming. Understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would keep watch and not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. We don't know the day or the hour when he'll come. So you say, well, is this a generation? Well, it doesn't really matter, because he could come today for you or me, you know, come or call. But we know that people are going into eternity every day. And yes, there is that day coming that we're talking about, the end time when Jesus returns and catches his church away. We don't know when that. So what should we do? We have a job to do. What we're doing, I can't stress this enough. What we're doing as a church is so vitally important, because eternity is real. As long as heaven is real and hell is real, what we do matters. That's why everything we do is important. That's why standing in the parking lot greeting people is important. That's why handing out a bottle of water as people come into the worship area is important. That's why every detail of everything we do is extremely important. We can't say, well, it just doesn't matter. No, because everything matters. Because everything we're doing is not for the temporary, but it's for the eternal, to create a place where people can come to know him and connect with him and have a relationship with him and live forever with him. Amen? I mean, that's what we're doing. So what should we do? Number one, write this down. I should think clearly. I should think clearly. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 7 says, the end of all things is near. Therefore, look at this, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. And circle that word pray, if you would, on your notes there. Because that's key to being clear-minded. You see, prayer is when your reality gets realigned. Come on. You know that when you oftentimes go to pray, you got things on your mind. You got people under your skin. You got cell phone towers on your brain. You know, you got issues on top of issues. Your issues got issues. You know, you got anger and things going on. You just got things. Come on. Am I the only? We're not all going to be super spiritual like we're, you know. Come on. We all have things. But when we go to prayer, prayer realigns us with what matters. It puts you in tune with, not with what's going on earth, but what is happening in terms of eternity and that reality. Prayer is not for us to inform God about the earth realities. It's for God to inform us about heaven and eternal realities. That's what prayer does. Prayer is when, you know, you go in to pray and you got these big problems, right? And it's big problems, little God, big problems, little God, big problems, little God. And you pray and you keep praying, big problems, little, and then it's big problems. I mean, big God, little problems, big God, little problems, right? Come on. It's this recalculating. We're recalculating ourselves. That's what happens in prayer. God helps us put it back in perspective. You don't believe it? I just feel like preaching this morning. Y'all don't mind, do you? You don't believe it? Go to the Psalms and look at David. David would start at the beginning of the Psalm, and boy, the guy's depressed. I mean, you know, he just, come on, God. Where are you, God? Come on, God, get them, gnash them or something. Beat them up, God. Get my enemies, God. Help me, God. Where are you, God? Where were you last night and last week, God? I don't know where you are, but where are you? And then you keep reading through that one same psalm. About the middle of it, God gets involved. God gets big in his life. And by the end of it, he's saying, oh, God, you're great. There's no one like you, God. You know where I am. God, I came to you with a sad countenance, but now I've got a glad countenance. Come on, read it. It's there, right? That's right. That's what prayer does for us. So I should think clearly. Get alone with God. Let him recalculate. Let him help you focus on what really matters. And prayer, by the way, is not just conversation, it's also confrontation. Come on. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and I sometimes will say this phrase, and another thing, and another thing. Yeah, everybody's, and another thing. And he reminded me that was a line from the movie The War Room. He just recently saw it. Anybody seen the movie The War Room? And this wife is doing battle. She's battling, you know, in her prayer life, battling for her marriage. Come on, battling for her family, battling for her home. Somebody battling today for anything? And she was in this battle, and it dawned on her that what was happening was there was some other element going on with spiritual warfare, and there was a real devil. Come on, there's a real evil spirit, come on, working against her. And she decided she's going to throw him out of the house. And she started speaking to the devil, you get out of my house, you get out of my life, you get out of my marriage. And she goes out the front door, basically, you know, just kicks him out of off her property and says, go on. And she goes back in and the door opens back up. And she says, and another thing, you know, and declares some more things for him to get out of her life on. And sometimes it's that way. But prayer will realign things and what's important, right? It helps you think clearly. Number two, I should focus on relationships. And again, this is being broken down for us here in 1 Peter in terms of what we're supposed to do in terms of eternity and the return of Christ. He says the end is near. He says so we should be clear-minded, right? Self-controlled so that you could pray. So we should think clearly. Secondly, he's saying that we should focus on relationships. Well, how can you say, why are relationships so important? People matter, guys, because people are the only thing that's going to go to heaven. That's why small groups is so crucially important that we get in relationship with one another. Ecclesiastes talks about pity the man who has no friends and when he's fallen and when he's going through something for him and for somebody to help him up. But the one that has people to help him, come on, that's one that's blessed. So we need each other. Get into a small group. And 1 Peter goes on to say it this way in the next verse, verse 8. Above all, he says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. So we need to focus on relationship. Focus on people. What matters is people. It's not just the stuff you do. It's people. It's people. It's all about people. If you're in a business, no matter what business it is, let me just inform you, it ain't the car business. It ain't the postal business. It's not the cell phone business. Come on. It's not architectural business. It's people. All those other things are the product. But I'm going to tell you, your people, people are your business, right? And guess what? As a church, that's what our business is. It's people. It's all about people. That's God's business. It's all about people. And when you take care of people, guess what? He'll take care of your business. You take care of his business, he'll take care of your business. Amen? That's the truth. Number three, in terms of eternity and the return of Christ, number three, I should make a difference. That's exactly what goes on to say in the very next verse. In 1 Peter chapter 4, it says we should think clearly. We should focus on relationships and that we should make a difference. Verse 10, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides. So that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. That's why we do what we do, because eternity matters. That's why we want you to get on the growth track and find out where God's gifted you and get on a team and serve and make a difference doing something that matters. For eternity's sake, that's why we do what we do. Let me just give you four more things that I want you just to write down somewhere on your notes. That being said, this is how we should live our life. We should live for heaven. Live for heaven. live our lives not just struggling and barely getting through this world, but we're living with heaven in mind. Secondly, we should stand for truth. Come on, stand for truth. Stand for what matters. And there's a right way and a wrong way to do that. Okay? Third, preach the gospel. Take the opportunities we have to share with others the good news of Jesus. That doesn't mean you got to stand up and shake your finger in somebody's face. That's not what I'm talking about when I say preach the gospel. Declare truth. People need truth today, folks. And they need the gospel, the good news. And then fourth, prepare to meet Jesus. Come on. Prepare. We got to prepare ourselves to meet Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, I thank you for the assurance that we have that you're coming again. Thank you for the hope of eternity. You've prepared so much for us that we can't even, it doesn't even fit in our brain. But I'm so thankful that there's a hope of eternity and that you're coming again. But most importantly, God, we need to be sure we're ready, we're dressed, we're doing the things you've called us to do. We're watching, but we're also working. We're serving you. We're taking advantage of the time that we have. We're redeeming the time that we have. We're looking for opportunities and we're acting on it. We're doing what you've called us to do. Lord, help us that we would be about our Father's business and that we'll not be distracted by things that really don't matter. God, help us to focus on what matters. God, you matter. People matter. And eternity matters. Heads are still bowed and eyes are closed. I just want to give an opportunity for those of you that need to make sure. And the question I'd like to present to you is, if he were to come today, are you ready? Are you sure you're ready? It's a simple question. I just want to help you make sure that you're ready today. So if you're in this house or you're watching online, I'd like to simply lead you in a prayer to make sure your heart, your life is where it needs to be with the Lord in relationship with him. I want to lead you in a prayer, not going to embarrass you or have you stand or come to the front. We're all going to pray this together. But if that's you and you say, Pastor, when you pray that, would you include me in? I need to make sure. Maybe it's you're coming for the first time, but maybe it's just you need to reaffirm or you need to, there's an area you need to surrender or you need to come back, whatever that looks like, but you know that today is an opportunity because no one knows when he will come or when he'll call. It's not a scare tactic. It's just a reality. The most important thing is that we're ready and we're prepared. So I want to pray with you. If that's you and say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, when you lead that prayer, would you count me in? Come on, just slip up a hand. And you can put it right back down. Say, Pastor, God, good job. Good job. Anyone else? Good job. Yes. Yes, over here. Good job. If you're watching online, yes, good job. Join with us. Would everyone help me by praying this prayer out loud? Just for those that need to pray this. Come on. All you got to do is mean it. I'm just going to help you with the words. Come on, out loud. Can we pray it? Pray this from our heart. Say, today, Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I accept that you died on the cross for me. You paid all my debts. You took care of my past so I could have a future. Lord, I turn from my way to follow you. Forgive me for going my own way. Today I choose Jesus. Jesus, come in my heart. Make me brand new. Change me from the inside out. I want your peace. I want your joy. I want your love. I want a life of fulfillment. So today I commit myself to you. I will follow you, Lord, as you help me. Come on, just say this. I give you my life, and I declare you now as my Savior and my Lord. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for giving me life. In Jesus' name. Lord, thank you for every person who prayed that. A minute. And today, this moment, God, they're not just words. We have communicated with a living God, and you have now changed everything. God, everything's new. I thank you that the past is settled. God, we're a new creation in Christ. God, you said that you're able to make all things new, and it's happened in this moment, and I just thank you for that. And I celebrate with them, God. Lord, I pray today as a church, God, we'll just focus really on what matters. God, that we'll live this thing out as you've called us to, God. We'll think clearly. We'll live prepared. That we'll live focused, God. That we'll make a difference, God, with this time that we have. God, we thank you for it. We give you all the credit and all the glory for what you're doing in us and through us. Of course, in Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said amen.